Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, but we're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We appreciate those of you that tune in at 89.9 FM in Madisonville, 89.3 in McKenzie, Tennessee, and 96.3 in Paris, Tennessee, as well as those that listen over the internet at WSOF.org. We're so glad and grateful that you're tuned in and listening to the broadcast today. As I make these introductory announcements and make these mentions, let me remind you that we do have these broadcasts in podcast form on our website there at WSOF.org, that you're welcome to go to those and you can download those and listen to them at your convenience. And hopefully that will be a blessing and a help. And I appreciate those of you that tune in every day, just listening right over the radio. And I want to pray that this broadcast go forth and accomplish the work God has sent it to do. I pray often that God would let the good seed go forth and that it might find some good soil, that it might be buried in the good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to His praise forever. Amen. I want to thank God for His many blessings and goodness and grace in our life. And let me announce that as I'm making this broadcast, my wife and I are gone to Tennessee, over in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Our son, our middle son, Daniel, had reserved a room there for us for a couple of nights. And we did that for my 50th birthday. And we didn't have a chance to do that at my birthday time, so we set it up for this. And we've gone to take a couple of days there. We'll be back on Wednesday, and so I hope that we will be able to make our program live then. But I've made this a little ahead of time here for this Monday and Tuesday. But I hope you're having a good day, and hope you'll remember us as we travel, that God give us a little bit of relaxation and a blessing. And I do know that at least our youngest son, Benjamin, and his wife, Whitney, are planning on being there as well. We'll be able to spend a little bit of time with them as they're taking a few days vacation. And so that's a real blessing. That's a surprise to us, but we're grateful for that and just thank God for His goodness. But we're going to go right into the program right here. Spent last week trying to deal with this thought about being holy. I think I'm about halfway through the points that I had lined up, and I'd like to try to finish this whole thought, if I could, this week on the 20 characteristics of godly leadership. This is number 19, characteristic of being holy. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to meet with us and help us today on the program, and then we'll be praying for our Wednesday night service. Lord willing, I'll be here preaching in our Wednesday night service. I had two guest preachers the last two Wednesday nights. And then, of course, we had Brother Wales here on Sunday, both services. And so I'm looking forward to preaching on Wednesday night. Pray for us in that the Lord might meet with us and help us and accomplish His perfect will. But pray that God bless the broadcast now as well and just help and have His way. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for Your blessings in our life. So much grace, so many blessings. And I've got so much to thank You for. Lord, I do thank You. Thank You for being the good God that You are. Just finished in my daily reading last week, reading through the book of Psalms again, and realizing how much we ought to be praising You, how many times the command is in the Bible that we ought to praise the Lord. And Father, You deserve our praise. We know You not just through the law as the psalmist did, but we know You through grace. And I want to thank You, Lord, for that. I want to thank You for saving us by Your grace. Lord, I pray now that You'd bless this broadcast. Lord, that You'd use it. Lord, I pray that You'd bless my wife and I as we travel and keep us safe and our children as well. And Father, that You'd help us have a good time of visiting there and relaxation and enjoy a little bit of vacation, so to speak, for at least a couple of days. And Lord, it'd be a real blessing. And Lord, I pray You'd get the glory. Lord, I do pray that You'd anoint the preaching of the Word of God on the broadcast today, that some sinner might come under Holy Ghost conviction and get saved by the good grace of God, that the saints might be encouraged to be holy as we're preaching on holiness. And Father, that we'd glorify Thee. Lord, that we'd be what we ought to be for Your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're taking our text as we have been from Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Titus chapter 1 verse 8. We'll listen to this good song while you find your place, and we'll be right back to read the scripture and bring the message from the Word of God. Well, amen. I trust you enjoyed those two good songs. They're two a cappella songs by our family. That first one was the whole family, myself, my wife, Melissa, and our daughter, Hannah, and then Joshua, Daniel, and Benjamin, our sons. And then the last song there was just me and the boys as we sang a cappella. I'm glad I've got a feeling down in my soul. I'm glad I've got a salvation I can feel. And even when I can't feel Him, I've got faith. I can pray and get a hold of the hand of God. And that hand that holds the world holds mine as well. And I can move the hand that holds the world and moves the world. Amen. And I'm glad that is so true. Well, as we said, we're looking in Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 8 again today. And we're going to that last point, number 20 of the 20 characteristics of godly leadership. The Bible says, Titus 1, 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Temperate is the characteristic we're looking at today. Being temperate, or that means being spirit-controlled. Some people say temperate means being self-controlled. I believe it means being spirit-controlled. And this is the last characteristic, certainly not the bottom of the barrel, and by no means the bottom of the barrel, nor the end of the line as far as importance. Amen. But this is a very important, I believe, one of the most necessary characteristics to have. But I don't believe you'll be spirit-controlled unless you're holy, as we preached on yesterday and last week. And I believe you're going to have all these in order to be spirit-controlled. Or if you're spirit-controlled, you will have all of these characteristics. We said, first of all, you ought to be spiritually mature, not a novice. Number two, you ought to have a good reputation. Those that are without ought to know you're an honest and just man or woman. And then you ought to have moral purity. You ought to be fair in your dealings. You ought to be right. You ought to be vigilant. That's number four. Number five, by the way, vigilant just means you got your eyes open. You're alert and aware of what's going on. Number five, prudent, or prudence, which means wise and humble. Number six, you should be respectable. Number seven, you should be hospitable. Number eight, you should be apt to teach. Number nine, not given to wine. Number 10, not self-willed. Number 11, not soon angry. Number 12, not pugnacious, no striker. Number 13, gentle, not a brawler. Number 14, patient. Number 15, not materialistic, not greedy, a filthy lucre. Number 16, one that manages his own household well. Number 17, loving that which is good and good men. Number 18, being just and upright. And number 19, being holy and devoted to God. Today we're looking at number 20. Began looking at this, being temperate, which is self-controlled. Now, in dealing with godly leadership, we would all agree that the godly leader must not be selfish, nor should he be self-serving. Many leaders in our secular world we'd have to say they certainly are. They're selfish and self-serving. But we would probably all also agree that the godly leader should not be someone that is easily led about by others. And by the way, in speaking of church leadership, there is a terrible catastrophe in many modern churches in which the pastor is led about by the deacons, or he's led about by the big givers in the church, or by one family or group that are members of the church and feel like they control the pastor and the preaching. Some churches, I believe, seem to look for a man that they can control. This, by the way, only allows someone else who is behind the scenes in the church to be the real leader. It hurts the church, and in the long run, because the pastor cannot really preach, nor can he really pastor if he's not the real leader. He needs to have control under the leadership only of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For a person truly to be the godly leader that they should be, they must be controlled by God through the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's not just pastors. We need presidents and senators and congressmen and sheriff and policemen and librarian. I mean, anything you can think of, we need people that are spirit controlled. I don't mean spirits, because a lot of people are under the influence of spirits, unclean spirits. But I'm talking about people that are led about by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's why this point, I believe, is probably, this point we're dealing with today, number 20, is probably the most important and the most necessary of all the points that we've dealt with. Now I want to talk about temperance. First of all, I want to talk about the definition of temperance. Secondly, I want to talk about being devoted, or the devotion to temperance. And then number three, I want to deal with the discipline of temperance. The definition, first of all, this particular word that the Apostle Paul used here in in Titus 1:8, he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, by the way, to choose this particular word. And he's writing about scriptural qualification for a godly leader. This is Strong's number 1468. And by the way, I give you these Strong's numbers so you can look them up yourself and see that I'm not telling you anything false. You can read them for yourself. Strong's number 1468, this particular word, it means, quote, strong in a thing, masterful. That is, figuratively or reflexively, self-controlled in appetite, etc. Now, Thayer's Greek-English Lexicon of the New Testament gives three definitions for this word. Number one, it says it means strong or robust. Number two, having power over, possessed of a thing. And then number three, mastering, controlling, curbing, restraining, controlling oneself, temperate, and continent. Now, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary of the American Dictionary of the English Language, the word temperate means, quote, moderate, not excessive or extravagant, unquote. There are actually three Greek words that are translated temperate in the King James Bible. The first one is closely related to the one used in our text. It's found in 1 Corinthians 9:25. It's Strong's number 1467. According to Strong's, it means, quote, to exercise self-restraint, such as in diet and chastity. Thayer's definition of this Greek word is, quote, to be self-controlled, continent. That is, to exhibit self-government, to conduct oneself temperately. Also, in a figure drawn from athletes who are preparing themselves for the games, abstain from unwholesome food, wine, and sexual indulgence, unquote. So Thayer says that this word here that's used in 1 Corinthians 9:25, I'm going to read it in a minute, that's translated temperate, means that we exercise self-restraint in diet and chastity. Like somebody striving for a gift in a game, all right? Now, these two particular Greek words that we're using in Titus and also here in 1 Corinthians, they used to illustrate the apostle's admonition to the Corinthian believers to be moderate in their appetites. He's talking about both physical and sexual. When you say appetites, not just what you eat and consume in your body, but also those fleshly appetites, those, whether it be sexual or materialistic appetites that you had. But Paul says you need to be moderate in those things that you might please God and not be entangled in the sins of the flesh. The Apostle Paul often used these words, and he used athletic games to illustrate this spiritual teaching. Again, look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is using this word to illustrate to us somebody that is careful about what they eat, they're careful about what they do, they're careful about how they exercise their body, both in the way they do use it and in the way they don't use it, that they might obtain an award, that they might win a prize of some kind. I said there's three Greek words translated temperate, the King James Bible. I've mentioned the first two, the one found in our text, Titus 1:8, the one found at 1 Corinthians 9:25, and in other places as well. But there's a third word found in our King James Bible in Titus 2:2, and it's Strong's number 4998. It is defined as safe, sound in mind, that is, self-controlled, moderate as to opinion and passion. Thayer's defines this particular Greek word as, first of all, of a sound mind, sane, in one's senses. He also defines it, number two, as curbing one's desires and impulses, self-controlled and temperate. So you can obviously see that all three of these words are much alike. Let me read you Titus 2:2 as this is found in the scripture. We'll start with verse 1, Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate. There's our word, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience. So he's talking about these men being sober, having a a sober mind, grave, again, dealing with the seriousness of their mind. Temperate, again, I believe in that particular case that he's dealing with the fact of being of a sound mind, not running off to foolishness and silliness. Amen. So this characteristic that we're looking at, defined temperate, means we, I believe, are spirit controlled. It takes the Spirit of God to give men, women, boys, and girls a sound mind. You see, the Bible says it this way. Paul said it to Timothy. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of fear is another spirit. When the Holy Spirit controls us, we have a sound mind. So I said to be temperate means being spirit controlled. We've looked at the definition of temperance. Let's go number two to look at the devotion to temperance. In each definition of the words that I translated there, temperate, we find a common teaching that this person is to be self-controlled. However, as I said, I contend that the godly leader must not only be self-controlled, but must be Holy Spirit-controlled. Certainly, the person who would be a godly leader must be able to control themselves to the point that they reject those things or activities that would be sinful and questionable, as I spoke yesterday about keeping themselves from the world, being holy, walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. We have to control ourselves to that degree. We must also control ourselves to the point that we do not allow ourselves to be overindulgent in even in things or activities that are not sinful. But we must allow ourselves time to study the Word of God and to pray. Friend, there's some things I could do as a pastor that are not sinful. But if it took me away from my study time, and I'm talking about if I neglected my study time, if I neglect my prayer time, if I neglect the time I should be using for things in pastoral work, then I have failed the Lord and failed my calling. Amen. The godly leader should be someone who has devoted themselves to living for God. We should devote time and effort to studying the Scriptures so that we might teach others, and then also to prayer, so that we can help others. But we should also devote ourselves to serving the Lord Jesus in every way and in everything we do. Just as athletes are devoted to knowing and practicing their sport, godly leaders should devote themselves to knowing Jesus and His Word and living a life that practically embodies God's Word. This is going to take a dedicated will and a disciplined life. This is the life of a spirit-controlled person. And this is the will of God for every Christian. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Friend, I'm simply saying I don't have time to hit this last point. I'll cover it tomorrow, and we'll finish this up tomorrow, Lord willing. But let me just simply say this, that if we're going to be Spirit-filled, as we should, to be the leader God wants us to be, whether you're a dad, you ought to be a Spirit-filled dad. Mother, you ought to be a Spirit-filled mother. Worker, employee, employer, pastor, student, church member, teacher, whatever you are, you ought to be Spirit-filled. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to devote ourselves to allowing Christ to have complete control and surrendering our will to the Spirit, not to ourselves. Amen. Well, I appreciate you tuning in today. I hope this message has been a help, and I bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening.